We will be starting shortly.
Thank you, Maggie.
Morning, Maria.
Morning, Ms. Pasha.
Good morning, honorable members. Good morning to the DDG from DTIC and her team. Good morning to the committee staff, Advocate Samin, Anameve, and the other staff of government, our guests and the media. Good morning. I don't know where Ms. Solomon is, if, or maybe let's deal with the attendance and the apologies.
Good morning, Chair, and good morning, members and stakeholders. Chair, in attendance today, we've got yourself, Honorable Mashodi, Honorable Mamrahane, Honorable Moimang, Honorable Boshoff, Honorable Brautasef, and Honorable Matavula. We have also have a new member that's joining our committee, Ms. Tafeni, who has also just logged onto the platform. Honorable Tafeni. In terms of apologies, I got an indication from Mr. Long yesterday that he actually declined the appointment because he said he had another meeting, but I'm not sure if he will be joining us. And from our colleagues, we have Advocate Van der Merwe, Advocate Ali, my co-committee secretary, Ms. Jenny Zulu, our committee assistant, Mr. Bazir, and the rest of the colleagues are still joining us.
And this program was adopted by SMS.
Recording in progress.
Some feedback coming from Honorable Mamrahane, can you please mute your mic?
Yes. I
don't know if Ms. Solomon, you can mute. Oh, okay. I see the hand of Honorable Matevula and Honorable Boshoff. Honorable Matevula.
Good morning, Chair, and thank you very much for giving me the opportunity. Chairperson, I need clarity. Based on what we have discussed yesterday, are we going to be given an opportunity as minority party to put our stand as minority parties, or we must submit our stand to the chair or to can be captured as well? I must note down. Can you hear me, Chairperson? Hello.
I can hear you now, but You can continue.
Yeah, Chairperson.
The problem is on my side now. I think the problem is on my side. I see that my bandwidth is weak. Honorable, my man, if I get kicked out, please take over. Because it has indicated that my bandwidth is weak. You can continue, Honorable. Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I also wanted to submit to you that they must note our submission on the chat so that it can appear in the minutes. And then as I indicated before, that I need clarity whether we are going to be given an opportunity as minority party to put our stand on these bills. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. In fact, I was before the start of the meeting, the voting process, I was going to ask Advocate Samara Ali to again repeat the procedure this morning. Honorable Posho.
Thank you very much, Chair. Just some clarity on Honorable Lont. He will be joining a little later. It's just that with the other committee's meeting being postponed or cancelled today, he scheduled other meetings, not knowing that we were going to sit. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Okay, thank you so much. Let me take this opportunity to also welcome Honorable Tafeni, who has replaced the late Honorable Temgose Aplin, representing the EFF, the Eastern Cape province. She has been in the National Assembly. She now represents the Eastern Cape as an EFF member. You are welcome, Honorable Tafeni, to the committee. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. If maybe you can show your video so that members can see you. If you can open your video, thank you so much. Welcome. Let's then continue, honorable members. Let me allow Advocate Samara Ali to just again repeat the procedure that will be following. Over to you, Advocate Samara Ali.
Good morning,
Chairperson. If I may interrupt before that, sorry, I'm okay. Joining late. And I'm going to ask that we leave, we complete by about just 10 to 12.
Okay, we'll see how far this is taking us here. Okay, I know you had sent me the message that you have another meeting. At 12, yeah. Thank you so much. Advocate Samara Ali.
Good morning, Chairperson. Good morning, Honourable Members and colleagues. Chair, if you would let me deal with Honourable Matevula's concern first before I set out the procedure. Honourable Matevula, every time you had typed through anything on the chat group, it was recorded by Ms. Solomon, and it will form part of your view, or the view of the EFF will be stated in the report. In terms of going forward, in terms of procedure, it will also work for both parties if you could continue sending those inputs via the chat group. In case you have a break in connection and some of it gets lost, to cover both sides of it, it would work well if we could have something in writing. Indeed, the views of the minority parties will be recorded as part of the minutes and the report of the committee on the bill. With regards to today's procedure, we will follow the same as yesterday. We would go through each clause. My learned colleagues from the department as well as legal services will then answer any questions that members have, and then we can proceed on the voting. The same process applies as yesterday. Five provincial votes will carry the question. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much, Advocate Samara. We'll ask then Mr. Bazia to
morning, Chair.
Good morning, Honorable Lansman. Welcome.
I am inside, but I'm just informing so that they can know. I'm not attending the meeting with the WIPs. I will be attending this one. So Honorable Dango can go that side if he wants. Myself, I will attend this side.
Okay, let's all be here. Thank you very much. I think the chief will understand. Thank you so much, Honorable Lansman, for prioritizing this committee, and also Honorable Dango as the whips, and Honorable Mamrakhan. We stop at clause 9. We will now go to clause 10. Mr. Solomon, you remind me if we have any proposal on clause 10. If not, we will then vote for the adoption or rejection of clause 10. Do we have any proposals? No proposals on.
No, legislative proposal clause 10. Okay.
Then, honorable members, let's vote on the clause 10 for the adoption of clause 10. Those who vote in support of clause 10, please raise your hands. Ms. Solomon, your assist, please.
Yes, Chair. In support of clause 10 without amendments, we have for Gauteng, Honorable Dango, for the Free State, Honorable Mashodi, for the Northern Cape, Honorable Moimang, for the Eastern Cape yourself, for Limpopo, Honorable Mamarahana, and I think I did see Mr. Lansman's hand initially, but I don't know if he lowered it, for the Northwest. But for right now we have got 5 provinces, Chair. So yes, the vote carries forward.
Thank you so much. Can honourable members please lower their hands? Thank you so much. Can we have those who vote against the adoption of the clause 10 raise their hands? None. Those who are abstaining, can they please raise their hands?
Okay, in terms of abstentions, we've got Honorable Boshoff, Honorable Matabula, Honorable Bratisef, and Honorable Lant.
Thank you so much. So the question is carried. Thank you so much. Can we now go to clause 11? And I will request Advocate Samin Fanemeve to explain the CLSO position and on the clause, and also followed by DDG Masocha from DTIC.
Good morning, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair. Good morning to you and good morning to the members. Chairperson, on this clause, there's not really an amendment that's being proposed, but even the questions that are answered, the questions that are posed, there aren't really any amendments that we would recommend, because it is about clarity in respect of how will we determine offences, and the bill does provide for that. Our criminal law system will make it very clear. There will be a charge sheet. It will be clear when and what term and so on is intended. So on this clause, like I say, there aren't proposed amendments, but also the questions that are posed are answered in the bill and by our criminal law process, and therefore we do not recommend any amendments.
Okay, thank you so much. EDG?
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, honourable members and colleagues and members from the public. It's the same view we have, Chair, that there are procedures in place and also from the bill. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Honourable members, with that explanation, those who vote in support of the explanation on the clause 11, can they please raise their hands? Solomon.
Yes, Chi. Those members that have voted in support in accepting the responses, Honorable Dango, Honorable Mashodi, Honorable Moimang, yourself, Honorable Khai, and Honorable Mamrakhani.
Okay. Thank you so much. Can we please lower our heads? Can we then go to those who vote against? Please raise their hands. None. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hands. Okay.
Abstentions are Honorable Bashoff, Honorable Matabula, Honorable Brautiset, and Honorable Lund.
Thank you very much. So the question is carried. Thank you very much. Can we move to close the 12th? Please lower your hands. Those
Chair, before you proceed, we still need to vote on the clause in terms of the bill, Chair.
Oh, sorry. Can we then adopt or reject clause 11? Those who vote in support of clause 11, please raise your hands. Thank you, Ms. Woods, for reminding me.
Just the clarity on that question. What are we voting for, Chairperson?
For the adoption of the clause.
Thank you.
The whole clause, yes.
Okay, thank you, Chi. Chi, in support of the clause 11 without amendments, we've got yourself for the Eastern Cape, Honorable Mashuri for Free State, we've got Honorable Mamrekhana for Limpopo, Honorable Moimang for Northern Cape, and Honorable Dango for Gauteng.
Thank you so much. Can we please lower our hands? Thank you so much. Those who vote against the adoption of clause 11, can they please raise their hands? None. Those who abstain?
Abstentions are Honorable Lunt, Honorable Bashoff, Honorable Brautiset, and Honorable Matavula.
And Honorable Tafeni.
And Honorable Tafeni.
Yeah. Thank you so much. So the vote is carried. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair?
Okay. Yes.
That legal opinion we ask about some permanent delegates whose voices carry more weight than others. It said at the next meeting we would get it. Now we had this. We had meeting today, we're having that another meeting, and we still haven't received that. And in the last two votes, I think it was now on permanent members, it was 5-5 on a lot of votes. So I would appreciate if we can get that legal opinion, because it's now getting into that terrain and territory where interpretation on this is going to become quite interesting, because there's 5 that voted for the adoption, 5 that abstained, which means if we can get that legal opinion sooner rather than later, and then we can get external legal opinions as well, since, as you already indicated, you're not willing to give more than one from your side.
Yeah.
Chairperson, according to the rules and the practice in the past, is that we vote as provinces. If 5 provinces vote for, then it's carried. If we take the gambling bill as an example, if 5 provinces didn't vote for it, so it didn't pass. So it is provinces that vote in this instance. The other votes are counted and noted in the report, but it is provinces that vote.
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Brautiset, then Advocate Samara again will come in.
I was just wanting to clarify the same thing, because as far as I know, there shouldn't be a duplication on provinces.
Okay.
There should be one vote per province. That's as I understand it. But now I see the composition of the committee now is that we have more than one member for the Eastern Cape. It's yourself and Honorable, is it Tafeni? I'm sorry if I got that wrong.
Yeah, you got it right. Got it right.
I'm not sure if now we have 2 members for one province.
Okay.
Look, you know, I just want to make sure we do things right. That's all. Thank you, Chair.
I think it was, Honorable Lansman, do you want to say something?
Yes, Chair. I just wanted to check if my vote is recorded because I have technical problems.
Oh, okay. No, on the next one, it will be recorded because you didn't raise your hand on the previous one. So we passed that already. But on the next one, your vote will be recorded. Honourable members, like if I was explaining yesterday, that I'll allow also advocate to come in on this one. That firstly, when Advocate Samara was saying in the next meeting, at the time we have not taken a decision that we would have a meeting today. So she was referring to a meeting next week. That's one. Two, we already know, even in the House, when it comes to declarations, when it comes to provinces, even in the Western Cape, Njadu or Ms. Linda Moss or whoever is in the delegation of the Western Cape cannot just stand up and do a declaration on behalf of the province, because the majority party in the Western Cape is the DA. So it's only the DA in the Western Cape that is allowed to make a declaration. And when it comes to voting per provinces, the chair who's presiding will ask alphabetically the provinces, Eastern Cape, the person who votes on behalf of Eastern Cape will be the whip of the Eastern Cape or somebody who's given that responsibility. And that person will come from the majority party. The same with the Western Cape. The person who will be voting on behalf of the Western Cape will be Honorable Laposkagne. If she's not there, Honorable Lont or anybody else from the DA would vote on behalf of the province, even if there are also other members of other parties, because the DA is a majority in the Western Cape. So therefore, the vote on behalf of the Western Cape will be done by the DA. So that is accepted even in the House. But let me allow your advocate Samara Ali to again explain. Thank you very much.
Over.
Okay. Yes.
Before you ask the advocate to explain to us, yesterday you have indicated that the votes that are going to be counted for is the one for the majority party. And then for minority parties, it's just an opinion, but we are voting as well. So I just want clarity on that. I'm getting confused on this issue of saying the majority parties, the ones they vote are going to be counted for, and the minority party is just an opinion. So why are we allowed to vote as the minority party if our votes are not counted for? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, I think you're expressing your views that you are neither supporting the clause nor accepting it, and therefore it will be noted under those who have abstained as a minority view. But Advocate Samara, can you come in before I take other hands?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, in response to the procedural advice, it has been prepared. It's currently with the Secretary awaiting approval. We're not allowed to send unapproved advice to a committee or to anybody that has requested it. I assure the Honourable Members I will forward it to you as soon as the Secretary has approved it. Going back to the question posed by Honourable Mativola, indeed, the ruling party it actually requires in-depth explanation, Chairperson. It goes back to the whole setup of the MCOP in terms of proportional representation. But to simplify it, the leader of the delegation is entitled to a vote. If that leader, if the ruling party in that province has requested another member or delegated another member to vote on their behalf, it is their prerogative to do so. The minority parties do not have a vote unfortunately. However, they can make their opinion known and it will be noted in terms of the minority view. When we do the report on this session and on the amendments, we will note the votes and the provinces that have voted in favor, like we would do with the provinces that have voted against. When it comes to two members of the same delegation voting to and from, unfortunately, it's going to be the vote of the majority party that will carry, and we will only note the view of the member from the minority party. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. I think it's clear now, Honourable Members. Honourable Lord.
Chair, there's a saying, jy wil jou brood aan albei kante geboter hê. So I'm putting it now going forward. If this committee doesn't want opposition members to fraud that are full permanent delegates of the NCP to have a fair, and we'll wait for the opinion and then we'll look for another one. But then don't expect us to give you a quorum when you can't get your own members to attend these meetings. We've done it in the past. State gave you a quorum for things. But we'll wait and see what it is now. Because yesterday, I think you yourself said, when Honorable Brother Seth raised this, that you are allowed to vote how you see fit. But now what Shamara said is that... Honorable Brato said he's in fact not allowed to do that. He must vote according to his province, which is why I asked for this yesterday at the beginning so that we can clear this up, because I appreciate the opinions of the Ambassador Dango, but I asked for a legal opinion of an actual advocate. So we'll wait for that. And I also asked, Chair, I see yesterday's ruling that you sent us, you already received on the 7th of June, but you only circulate it to us on the 13th after you've read it, so that in the future, if legal opinions are received, we receive it as members of this committee, not a week later, but as soon as possible, as soon as you find it and then circulate to us. Thank you.
There are so many things that you're raising now. The forum, the legal opinion. I don't know where to begin to respond, but the decision was the decision of the meeting that the matter will be carried out, will be again dealt with in the next meeting, and the next meeting was yesterday. So there was no meeting between the time I received the response from Advocate Adiker and the meeting yesterday. So the matter was for a meeting yesterday. So I raised it in the meeting yesterday, I read it, and then circulated it yesterday. Honorable Moimang, and then Advocate Shamara.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, the legal procedures at the beginning has not changed because it's a reflection in terms of the rules of the National Council of Province. It is a reflection and confirmation in terms of proportional representation. That is constitutional and it was well articulated. And until there is contrary view, I think that position must be maintained. And it is important that we note that there is no opposition and objection to the legal advice that was requested. But the biggest challenge now is that this meeting was supposed to take place next week, but because of the provision and all of us agree that there are two today, it is unreasonable for the issues that Honorable Lund is raising. But more than that, I think what is quite critical is also not correct to say the AEC is relying on them to have a quorum. We always start from the point that the members of the committee must always be available for the meeting. So I don't think it is politically correct for him to make that assertion that he's helping us. Because this is a select committee, and all of us in terms of our responsibilities, it is our duty to make sure that there is a quorum. But more than that, if he now takes it to that level to say, look, the ANC is relying on the DA to make a quorum, politically, it is not correct. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Advocate Samara, I think you'll be the last on this issue, and then we move to clause 12.
Thank you, Chair, and my apologies if I am taking the meeting back. Chair, there's just an issue that I would love to clarify. When it comes to the vote of Honourable Brotosek, he is the only member from the KZN legislature that's voting in terms of every clause that was proposed. What we are faced with from the legislature is that we have a mandate that agrees with the bill, but we don't have a position or a proposed amendment on any of the clauses. So Honourable Brother said in this case, votes in favour of the bill, but when it comes to the clauses, if he so chooses, he can abstain or vote against it. So I'm not saying that Honourable Brother said doesn't have a vote and that his voter opinion does not matter. It indeed does. What I want to clarify is there's two different situations in that. When we looked at Honourable Matevula and Honourable Mamaregane, both of them are from Limpopo, hence only the vote of Honourable Mamaregane will carry through and the opinion of Honourable Matevula will be recorded because of the way we vote in terms of the Constitution. However, the same principle does apply when it comes to Honourable Brotosek and voting in terms of the clauses. He can vote. Maybe he would vote yes, maybe no. That's up to the member itself. So we're not saying that he can't vote, Chair. I just wanted to clarify that. But when we vote on the bill, at that point, he will have to follow the line in terms of what is indicated in the mandate. Luckily, at this point, the mandate from KZN does not agree or disagree with any of the proposed clauses. They don't have any proposed amendments. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. Can we then continue to clause the 12? Are we on clause 12? Mr. Bazia, can you go to clause 12? Thank you very much. Advocate Fanameve, followed by DDG Masoch.
Chair, in the absence of any proposed amendments for clauses 11, 12, 13, and 14, because I think the next proposed...
Oh, this one is 15. Oh, sorry. 15,
sorry. So we'll need to vote on clauses 11,
let
12,
me 13. Get my glasses. I thought that was close. Thank you. Thanks very much. Sorry, let me get my glasses. I thought that was clause 12. Okay, clause there. Let's go to clause 12, honorable members, clause 13, clause 5, 12, 13, and 14. Let's start with clause 12. Those who move to adopt the clause 12, please raise your hands.
Okay, thank you, Chair and members. Chair, in support of clause 12 without amendments, we've got for the Free State, Honourable Mashodi, for the Eastern Cape yourself, for the Northern Cape, Honourable Moimang, for the Northwest, Honourable Lansman, for Limpopo, Honourable Mamaregane, and for Gauteng, Honourable Dango.
Thank you so much. Honourable Dango also there.
Yes, Chair.
Oh, okay. All right.
We've got six votes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right. Thank you so much, honourable members. Can you please lower your hands? Thank you so much. Those who vote against the adoption of clause 12, please raise your hand. None. Those who abstain, please raise your hand.
Chair, abstentions, we've got Honourable Matevula, Honourable Lunt, Honourable Boshoff, Honourable Brautesef, and Honourable Tafeni.
Okay, I thought Honourable Lunt was raising his hand with love. abstaining with love.
Chair, I'm just showing the love in how you chair this meeting. So it was a slip of the finger, but some humor also helps.
All right. Thanks, Honorable Lord. Okay. Then the adoption, can you please lower your hands, Ms. Tafini and Honorable Tafini and Honorable Matthew. Can we then, honorable members, those who vote in support of clause 13, please raise your hands. Ms. Madia.
Yes, Chi. Thank you, Chi. In support of clause 13 without amendments, we've got for the Northern Cape, Honorable Moimang, for the Eastern Cape yourself, for the Free State, Honorable Mashuri, for Limpopo, Honorable Mamrahana, for Gauteng, Honorable Dango, and for the Northwest, Honorable Landsman.
Can we please lower our hands? Oh, even myself, my hand is still up. Can't go now. Honorable Maimang and Honorable Morsudi, the adoption of clause 13, please raise your hand. None. Those who abstain, please. Okay. Those who are abstaining.
Clarity, sir.
Yes.
Clarity.
Okay.
I think there's an instance where you were not audible enough, so maybe you can just repeat that.
Okay. No, there was a vote for those who were in favor. And then maybe it's when I was asking members to lower their hands. So that's when then I had a glitch, because I saw the hands were still up and mine was so not maybe because of a glitch, even lower mine. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, sure. That's fine.
So now we are on those who are abstaining, and we'll wait for another Solomon to indicate.
I have already indicated, Chair, but I'll read it. Oh, sorry. For abstentions, we've got Honorable Lunt, Honorable Matabula, Honorable Tafini, Honorable Boshoff. We've got four abstentions, Chair. And Honorable Brantesef.
Okay. Thank you so much. Can we ask honorable members to lower their hands? Okay, thank you so much. So,
Chairperson.
Yes, ma'am.
Chairperson, I'm failing to write on the chat while I'm busy voting. So, I would like to ask you if you can give me an opportunity at the end to read my opinion so that it can be recorded.
Okay, we'll do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks so much. Therefore, the clause 13 is not adopted. Thank you very much. Let's go to clause 14. Those who vote in favor to adopt clause 14, please raise your hand. Clause 14.
Yes, Chi. In those provinces that have voted in favor of clause 14 without amendments are captured as follows. For the Eastern Cape, we have yourself. For Gauteng, we've got Honorable Dango. For Northern Cape, we've got Honorable Moimang. For Free State, we've got Honorable Mashodi. And for Limpopo, we've got Honorable Mamrahani.
Landsman also.
It's not on. Okay, so we'll capture your vote, Honorable Landsman, for the Northwest.
Okay. Thank you very much. Can you please lower your hands, honorable members? Thank you very much. Now we go to those who vote against the adoption of clause 14. None. Those who are abstaining, can you please raise your hand?
Chair, abstentions are recorded as follows: Honorable Tafini, Honorable Lunt, Honorable Matavula, Honorable Bashop, and Honorable Brantese.
Thank you very much. Can you please lower your hand, Honorable Members? Honorable Brantese and Honorable Matavula, please lower your hands. Thank you so much. So, Clause 14 has been adopted, Honorable Members. Now we go to Clause 15 and we ask the advocate, Fana Meve.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, this clause is quite extensive. Sorry, I'm trying to get my video to start. There we go. This clause is quite extensive. It deals with most of the exceptions, and there was a lot of discussion and proposals around this clause. So if I may, with your permission, just first give inputs on the whole of the clause, but then proceed section by section. Because otherwise, I'm now going to give you inputs on the whole of the clause, then members vote, and then actually, you know, the process is that the whole clause has been voted for, and that will include each of the sections. So I will give feedback first just on the whole of the clause, and then start with section 12A and give feedback on that, and then I would propose that members consider that. But perhaps we can get advice on whether to vote section by section or at the end vote on the whole clause. I'm just not 100% sure because you will see it's probably about the bulk of the discussions on this document as well. So, Chair, if I could just get some guidance on that, I'll discuss the whole clause and then start with 12A. But what I'm not sure of is if whether they should be voting after 12A or just the discussion after 12A, and then we proceed to the next one. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. I think because we're voting for the amendments, so we will vote for all the amendments after the explanation from
Sorry, Chair, we're losing you. We can't hear.
And thereafter, we vote for the clause.
Chair?
Yes, can you hear me?
You're clear now, yeah. But we couldn't hear the first sentence.
Oh, no, I was saying that we will vote for all the amendments, 12A, 12B, and so on. And then we vote for the clause. Clause 15 after we have voted for any amendments in terms of the sections.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I understand. Yes, okay. I understand what you do. Thank you.
Okay. Just before you come in, Advocate, Honorable Moimang, are you in?
No, I'm fine, Chair. It was
please step in if... have a problem.
Yeah, okay. Though I'm also in a place that is not very good because I have to drive all the way 2.5 hours back to be here by 9 so that I don't miss the memorial service.
all right.
Okay. Yeah, so but I think where there is a challenge, maybe switch off the video so that the bandwidth is well utilized. Thank you, sir.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, you're right. All right. Thanks very much, Honorable Mamang. Honorable Advocate, you can then continue. Sorry.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Chair, so in respect of the whole of the clause, the proposals related mostly around the policy direction of fair use, whether the exceptions are constitutional, whether they constitute arbitrary deprivation, and whether they comply with the treaties and specifically the three-step test. So, Chair, from our side, from the legal services side, but and the DGI can speak for themselves, but I'll just give the summary of the advice provided. We do not recommend any of the proposed amendments, so we don't recommend in respect of the whole of the clause deletion and so on. We do not propose that. There was extensive research and consultation, and it was found to be a policy direction that will result in economic advantages for South Africa. There were also provinces that did support the clause, and that is noted. Furthermore, the exceptions comply with the guidance from the courts in respect of compliance with the Constitution, as well as with the three-step test. Then specifically in respect of Section 12A, the proposed amendments, again, related to fair use, because this is the general fair use clause, and the response is the same. There's no, the recommendation is that Section 12A is retained. It is a policy decision as fair use, and it was thoroughly researched. It is in line with global developments, and it is a direction that will result in economic advantages for South Africa. The proposals, I'm trying to quickly scan, and there were quite a lot of comments on this. There was a concern about the hybrid system, but we indicated that there are countries that use a general exception clause and then specific limitations. So because of all that, the recommendation is that Section 12A remains as it is. There was also a proposal specifically for an amendment from Mpumalanga that there need to be a consultation with the authors, creators, and owners of the copyright work before the work is used. This was also not recommended because Section 12A deals with the specific exceptions where you do not have to ask permission. And the reason for that is because the use in question would be deemed to be fair. For instance, where you would be quoting the work from someone, you would maybe write an article where you're criticizing a book or a song, and you will quote from that and you will refer to the content of that where there is research conducted. So it is not recommended for that proposal from Mpumalanga to be accepted, because it will have a serious effect on the exception. I made the example, if I need to submit my assignment tomorrow, it will not be possible for me to get the permission to make a quotation, which is in any event a fair application of the work, in that I will simply do a quotation and I will protect the moral rights by saying where I got the quotation from, and that is all provided for in the bill. The other comments related again to international treaties and the three-step test, and it is our submission that the exception in fact does comply with that, and therefore that no amendments are necessary. Chair, those are the comments on the clause as a whole, and then 12A specifically. So if I may hand over with your permission to the department to also address that.
Okay. Over to you, DDG Masot.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Advocate. Most of the issues you've raised, Advocate, we share the same views about them. I will just also add other comments around fair use from the provinces. There are provinces that recommended that Section 12A be deleted as a whole. And then I think that was Free State, and also to highlight that there was no socioeconomic impact study done for the fair use. Others recommended the fair dealing system, the current system, to be retained. And to add to the advocate, the point around the socioeconomic impact assessment has been linked strongly to the fair use, and also the fact that it's aligned to the system in the US. But the US system is more lenient. It's not as the way that we've adopted our fair use is too open, it poses a lot of risks for the creators of works, authors, and copyright owners. From the department side, we had an intention to introduce the regime of fair use as far back as 2015. In that bill that was published and gazetted in 2015, it had a fair use provision. And in the parliamentary process, following the president returning the bill, there was further consultation on fair use So there was a lot of public participation around this provision. And yes, there are countries that are applying this regime, and there are those who argue it's not many countries, but at the same time, the US is one of the main users of the system, and they have not reversed from it. Additionally, from an international trade perspective, from the trade perspective, the WTO, there's no known country that has been taken to the tribunal processes where there's a dispute around the wrong use or fair use. So it is a globally accepted regime, and even countries that apply fair dealing have open exceptions that are more or less like a fair use system. So we do support that we retained Section 12A, and we noted all the comments, and we think that it will do a lot of good for the country from a developmental point of view, from bringing balance to the current creative industry challenges that we have, and also innovation and more creativity, which will talk well for economic development going further. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much to Advocate Funameve and DDG Masoja. Honorable members, in terms of these proposals, can we then, those who move for the adoption of the proposals, please raise your hand.
Yeah, I just want to check something, please, if I may.
Yes.
When we had our last in-person meeting, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I do think it was Advocate Funameve that said that, but you can correct me on that. But the fact is, we raised the issue about the impact assessment, and the feedback was that there were impact assessments done, and several in fact, and that was communicated to the provinces. And I asked there quite clearly that I would request that we firstly get it, all of that as a committee, but secondly also that the dates on which this was sent to the different provinces also be communicated to us, so that I can then follow up in my province to see where the miscommunication happened, so that we can just make sure we close that loophole, because the feedback was quite clear that it was done and it was communicated to the provinces, and I just asked that we get copies of that and then also the dates on which it was communicated to the provinces, so that we can just follow up where possible miscommunication happened, and then every province can also check whether they did in fact receive it or not. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'm not sure if that was a decision, because I remember DDG indicated that it was the duty of the DPME, and also that there was no obligation to send to the provinces, if that my understanding is correct. But the socio-economic impact assessment is there with the DPME, because it was the DPME that was responsible for that. Maybe you can come in, DDG, and clarify that aspect.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the Honourable Member. Chair, you are correct. I did clarify this last week. First, I would say, in terms of the socio-economic impact assessments, they are the mandate of the presidency, the DPME, and they were conducted. We have more than one version because of the different stages of the processes from cabinet and when the bills were introduced to parliament. So we have those. So that is there. In terms of the guidelines, I did indicate last week that there is no obligation for a department to send the assessors to the public or to the stakeholders. And in terms of the parliamentary processes, we have made them available to parliament. And I indicated there is a province that requested that we give them some indication around the stairs, and we did provide that. But I think in terms of the miscommunication, I'm not sure how that is perceived in that manner, because there were public hearings in provinces, and there was no obligation even for the teams that were in the provinces to be giving the sayers to the parliaments of various provinces. We briefed the provinces. Each one had its own areas of concerns they wanted the department to respond to. And there was no specific issue per se around the sayers in various provinces. Those who asked questions around it, we clarified them. So there is no email that we will give to the honorable member indicating that on this date, this was submitted to Northwest or Mpumalanga or so and so on. But the specific province that requested this, we did. And but I think that this matter was clarified in the last meeting, and we did respond to this. There are those CSS, and the guidelines are clear. They don't have to be published to the public. They are meant for authorities who will then address issues around the legislative process. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, we seem to have lost you.
Sorry.
Okay.
Just before that, can we allow Honorable Protasen?
Yeah, Chairperson, this speaks to the whole idea of public participation, and I just want to warn the committee that we're sailing very close to the wind on this. The advice is correct that there's no obligation. But the problem is that there have been numerous court cases, in one particular, the mineral resources case, where the court found that there wasn't sufficient public participation. And there are various enabling acts that speak about how much public participation must go out. And we have to always err on the side of making sure that public participation and publishing to the provinces is done as much as possible. So if we're going to err on that, we may face court challenges later. I just want to warn the committee about that. Thank you.
Now, there's a difference between public hearings and the socioeconomic impact assessment. So public hearings were done. We did public hearings as the committee. Provinces have done that as well. But the issue that is raised by Honorable Lund is the issue of the socioeconomic impact assessment as to whether it was sent to provinces. And this was explained last week and weeks before that. Honorable Lund?
Thank you, Chair. So my request was that it please be sent to us as the committee members. That's now a formal request to you, if we can get that. That's the first thing. The second thing is I would like to know which province requested it and when was it sent to this province. And then it links to what Honorable...
Mr. Romans will follow the issue of the request.
Yeah, sorry, Chair. And the third thing, it links to what Honorable Brata has said. I mean, this will have an impact on all nine provinces. And by withholding something like this, and I can appreciate that there's various reports done across various stages of this bill, the timeline that this bill has started, but it has an implication for the provinces. And it is something that at the very least, the lawmakers in each province should receive to consider, even if you don't publish it. It is something that will have an impact in those provinces. And by withholding such a critical piece of information from the lawmakers in the province, I'm not even talking about the public, I'm talking about the representatives serving in each legislature. It is a critical oversight. And in the own words of the department, they've only sent it to one out of the nine provinces. Eight didn't receive it. And they only sent it because there was a request for that. So the first two formal requests, and the last one is a comment that you do not have to respond to, but I just wanted to put it on the record.
Ms. Matia, we will talk outside this platform so that we can request this for the committee, not for the provinces. Provinces will have to request on their own if they want to, but for the committee, we will request that.
We'll do, Chair.
All right. Can we then go back to voting?
Just one question. A question that that arises now is, what constitutes sufficient information being gathered from the public? Is it public meetings? Is it public hearings? Is it X amount of public hearings? In our minds, what then constitutes sufficient public participation?
Okay, I think it's a question for another day. Honourable members, there are hands that keep on going down, being lowered, because when we say let's vote, and then there are other issues that are being raised. Can I formally again ask that those who vote?
Chair, I did put two formal, one. And I don't know if maybe the signal is the problem. So I do apologize if it's the signal that's the problem. But I did request now formally, and I will say so again, that we, as the committee members, get those reports. I appreciate that Madia can, Ms. Solomons can get the dates from the one province that did request it and sent back. But I also think we have the DDG on the line to answer that. Whose responsibility it is to answer. So I'm going to assume it's the signal that gave problems, but those were two requests that I put to you as chairperson to please take a decision on and communicate that, please.
Honorable, I don't know, Honorable DDG, you said there was a request made by one of the provinces. Which province was that?
It was the Western Cape Chair. They also called us for a deliberation where we indicated to them the processes, the legislative processes, and how the different, how we follow a process of legislation. So it was them, and it was not, if I'm not mistaken, for the first time. And there are many documents that we did give to them based on different requests. So it is not a problem, Chair. We can make available what we sent to the Western Cape. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. Can we go back then to voting, honorable members, those who voted in favor of clause 15 and the sections that were commented on, please raise your hands. Honorable Eric Lansman, are you still having a connect? Oh, okay. Ms. Mandia?
Yes, Chi. Thank you, Chi. So, Chair, we're voting on the acceptance of the departmental response in Clause 15.
Yes.
We have Honourable Dango, yourself, Honourable Khai, Honourable Moimang, Honourable Mashori, Honourable Lansman, and Honourable Mamarhani.
Thank you so much. Can you all please lower your hands, Honourable Members? Thank you so much. Those who are voting against the adoption of Clause 15 amendments.
Chair, we have three members, Honorable Lund, Honorable Poshoff, and Honorable Grautis-Pratisek.
Thank you so much. Can I ask Honorable Members to lower their hands? Okay. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hand.
Chair, we have one abstention from Honorable Matavula.
Thank you very much. So the vote is carried. Can we then go to the adoption of Clause 15? Can we ask Honorable Matavula to lower her hand?
Chair, apologies for interrupting. Chair, it's not yet adoption of Clause 15. There's still a number of sections that we need to go through with proposed amendments.
Not on Clause 15?
Yeah, so on Clause 15, Chair. Five sections, yes, that we'll first have to go through the amendments on that section, and then we can vote on Clause 15. Sorry for interrupting.
No problem. Can we go down then, Mr. Bazia? Can you indicate, advocate those sections, please?
Thank you, Chip. So the next section is 12B, which deals with some general, it is on page 44 of my documents.
Yeah.
That is quite low down here. On 12B, there are some specific proposals. Sorry, let me just make sure that I have. Yes. There are a number of proposals here. The first relates to the broadcasting, and there was a request for the days to be. Yes, there you are at the right place. So the first is in respect of broadcasting and to reduce the days that it can be broadcast, and the department will speak a bit more to this. But the inputs from the public was that you can't really reduce that because it will affect the processes and the procedures and projects that broadcasters may have. Another proposal was in respect of specific exceptions within 12B dealing with quotations. But these matters are already in the Act, and so far we've not had any judgments or concerns raised about these exceptions. The new exception that there also were some proposals around is paragraph H, which deals with private copy or copies made for personal use. And from the DGI and from CLSO, our recommendation is that all of these amendments do comply with the three-step test. They do comply with constitutional principles. And there's also a concern was about distribution, but the department will also speak about that. That's more of a policy in nature. And another amendment proposed was to add the words acquired lawfully and to define that in respect of personal copies. But Chair, that is also not recommended. The concern there is that it almost nullifies the exception. It makes it very difficult for certain sectors, especially the library sector, to in fact perform their work. And further, there was a proposal to delete the whole of the section, but that is also not recommended. Each of the each of the exceptions contained in Section 12B is carefully balanced to protect the rights of the copyright owner and that of the user. And they all comply with the three-step test. They are clear, they're specified instances, and they have clear limits to what can be done. There was also a proposal for private copying levy or remuneration, which was also not recommended, but that the department can speak to. And then lastly, Chair, on this section, from the Northwest, there was a proposal in subsection 6 of section 12B to delete the words of ownership, so that subsection 6 would not read assignment of ownership, but just assignment of an assigned original or copy of a work. And the department agreed with that amendment. So that amendment, Chair, is the only one that is recommended in respect of Section 12B, subsection 6, to remove the words of ownership. Perhaps if I can just take you to that specific amendment, it is on page 54 of this document. If you can go down a bit. Yes, there you can see it, the blue. Just go up a little bit. Sorry, on your document, I see now. It's because I started making notes on mine. Apologies. So go a little bit up and you will see the blue font there. There we go. So, Chair, that is the only amendments that we do recommend from the department side. And then, Chair, with your permission, if I can hand over to the department to just speak to those few issues, distribution specifically, and the private copy levy, and there may also be other issues they want to speak to. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, I will come in. Thank you, Advocate. Advocate, can you hear me? I'm having network issues. Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Evelyn. I can
hear
you.
Okay, thank you. Okay, to speak to the areas that Advocate covered, I will try not to repeat what she has said. In terms of the 12B, 1 subsection B on the broadcasters. Yes, it is an exception that is in the Act currently, and there has not been any issues that came to our attention in relation to the current Act exception. The proposals that are made in terms of the time frame, shortening the time frames versus what is in the Act. I think in the Act you have something of 6 months, and then there are proposals around the 30 days. In terms of how the recordings of the broadcasters can be addressed, especially of the musical work, the sound recording. This provision was advertised in the National Assembly process, and it was modeled against a provision in Canada, the Canadian model on ephemeral rights. And what happened was that even the language that was used was taken from that as per recommendation by the public. We took it and we took that into consideration. What transpired was that there were much comments that came back that highlighted that there are many misalignments in terms of the text and the way that we apply our Copyright Act. There were challenges with unintended consequences of some of the provisions that were being recommended. And the issue of the time frame, we had to consult further, I think through Advocate and her team. There was a consultation with other stakeholders in terms of how will this impact on them. They advised that the time frames are in line with international best practice, and should they be shortened, it's going to affect them. So that's the point around this exception. Hence, we are saying we are of the view that it is safe, it has got safeguards, and it should not be amended. We should retain it as it is. And then coming to the one about the private copy levy on private use, personal use, those uses are for non-commercial purposes, and they also have safeguards such as fair practice, ensuring that the use is fair and measured. So with the private levy copy, it's a system. It's currently used in other countries in the EU. I think they have a system around there, around the levy. If I'm not mistaken, there might be directives around that. So it is a levy system, some say it's a tax, where the intention is to ensure that there is a balance between the use of personal copies, especially in devices, versus what is due to the copyright owner and the authors. So it's trying to compensate the copyright owners and the authors for their works, where their work is used for free for personal use and the copies that are lawfully used. So the bit of assessment of this has indicated that some consider it a controversial provision. Even in those countries, they're still grappling with the reforms around it. So it's an area that is a gray for us, and we still need to look into it further before we introduce it. The system has to be managed because it's got tax or levy implications. It's got implications for collecting societies in terms of who collects those levies, for importers, suppliers. So it's a complicated system. So it's not a matter of just adding a provision. So there's industry implications and other implications that may have international ramifications as well. So it is a very sophisticated system that needs thorough consideration before we look into it in more depth. So it's got different aspects to it, including use of devices, the use that is personal but lawful, those who are authorized, and those, and but then at the same time we are trying to ensure that there are exceptions for users, and so balancing the rights of users versus that of the owners and the authors, and ensuring that there's a balance, and then bringing in the system as well. So that's where the unintended consequences are, that the lack of clarity around those issues that I just mentioned now. And some even argue that there may be consumer protection related concerns around that, the levy system itself, and also disputes among suppliers, importers, and collecting societies. So there's a complicated, controversial process that needs to be properly considered. On the lawfully acquired, still on Section 12B, still related to personal copies, it was also one of the amendments that were brought in the National Assembly, informed by the public because of concerns of the use of works for free in terms of the fair use and the exceptions. And it was brought in to ensure that we do address the concerns of the public. So it was added as an amendment. It was advertised and published. But then at the same time, as Advocate indicated, there were concerns raised about it, the unintended consequences, its application. And if in another country, I think they had regulations, it's the UK, and those regulations are still debated if they were not repealed, but there was a challenge around it. And the suggestions that were made were similar to that amendment in that jurisdiction. So it is one of those areas that we tried, but then it proved to have unintended consequences. On the one about the distribution, 12B with the subsection 6, the comment was noted around the technical drafting issue around the assignment versus the ownership of assignment, because the assignment talks to the transfer of rights. So there was a comment around that. We saw that this comment is an area that we can look into in terms of the language. But this provision talks to the type of exhaustion or method of a parallel importation that we are bringing into the country. It talks to the issue of distribution of imports. So a copyright holder or owner is gives permission to use to own a particular right to a product, and that, say for instance, in terms of books, then we can then after the first sale, hence they call it the first sales doctrine, that can be distributed further, but then they can bring them into the market, and especially on issues of competition, ensuring that there's access to education material, addressing issues of the cost of education material and competition related issues. So it's an international exhaustion that has been adopted here. So it's introducing that method of exhaustion. So there was that policy decision to move from the national to the international. So it talks to that. So I will stop there to say that we have agreed with the comment from the Northwest to look at refining and altering the provision. So we are recommending the change by removing the ownership of ownership. In terms of the temporary production, I think on this one, 12C.
Doc. Can we deal first with vote for clause 12B, and then we back to 12C, and I'll allow you and advocate to give input on that. And then we vote on that, and then we move to 12D. You also motivate that, and then we vote on that, and then after we're done with that, then we do the whole clause. Can we, those who vote then in favor of 12 section 12B, please raise your hands.
Okay, Chair, those members that have voted in favor of accepting the responses in terms of Section 12B, it's been captured as follows. Honorable Moimang, Honorable Mamarahana, Honorable Mashodi, Honorable Dango, Honorable Khai, and Honorable Lansman.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, can you please lower your hands? Thank you very much. Those who are voting against Section 12B, please raise your hands. None. Those who abstain, please raise your hand.
The abstentions have been captured as follows. Honorable Boshoff, Honorable Bratisit, Honorable Lont, and Honorable Matabula.
Thank you so much. That means the Section 12B has been accepted. Thank you very much. Honorable members, can lower your hands. Can we then move to 12C and ask...
Chairperson,
yes.
When Mahdia records the vote, I don't think she should record it as the members. She should record the following provinces. The members voting on behalf of the following provinces that are voted for, and these members have abstained. Thank you, Chairperson.
Can we at this stage leave it as far as the way that she's doing it until then we get this memo from Advocate Ali for now? I don't want us to get into another debate, Honorable. I understand the point that you're making, but can we, for now, until we have received the written memo from Advocate Samar? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Advocate 12C.
Thank you, Chairperson. The proposal on 12C is the inclusion of the wording of the three-step test into 12C. Chair, this is not recommended. We actually did this exercise in the portfolio committee where the wording was added. And what it does is that it actually makes the exception impossible to be used. A layering of exceptions simply indicated that it cannot work. And accordingly, the proposal is that it not be added. The three-step test is intended to be a guide and that you test your legislation against. And if we test Section 12C against the steps, the three factors, then it is our submission that it does comply with the three-step test, and therefore we do not recommend this amendment. So that is the only proposed amendment in respect of 12C. Thank you. If I may hand over to the department. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. DPG?
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Person. Advocate. Thank you, Chair. The amendment is not recommended. We note the comments and we support what the advocate has just indicated. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Honorable members, with that explanation, those who vote on section in favor of section 12C as explained, please raise your hands.
Chair, those members that have voted in favour of section of accepting the responses in terms of 12C is Honourable Moimang, Honourable Khai, Honourable Lansman, Honourable Mamarahana, Honourable Mashodi, and Honourable Dango.
Thank you very much. Can you all lower your hands, Honourable members? Please. Thank you so much. Those who are voting against clause 12C, please raise your hand. No. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hand. Please.
Chairperson, the abstentions are recorded as follows. Honorable Pratasev, Honorable Matabula, Honorable Lont, I did see Ms. Boshoff's hand, Honorable Boshoff's hand earlier on, and then she lowered it again.
Honorable Boshoff? Okay.
And then Honorable Boshoff.
Thank you so much. Can you please lower your hands, Honorable Members? Thank you very much. Honorable, okay. So the section 12C has been agreed to. Thank you very much. We go to section 12D.
Reproduction
in academic activities.
Thank you, Chairperson. And this is then the last section on this clause, Chair. So once we've decided on 12B, then the clause can also be adopted. Chair, in respect of 12D, there was first of all support for 12D. It deals with educational and academic activities as being crucial. Of course, that is noted, that from Gauteng and KwaZulu-Natal. There was a proposal for a licensing scheme, and in fact, the DGI has already spoken to some extent to that, but they may wish to add. And the proposal for a licensing scheme is accordingly not recommended on the same basis. The Northern Cape indicated that there must be adequate provision in the bill for recognition of academic work, and the confirmation that we can give is that it does in fact do so. There was also a concern in respect of three-step tests again, and it is our submission that the clause is clear, it's very specific, it has very specific limitations, and it does not only comply with the three-step test, but it complies with all the principles set down by our courts in relation to compliance with the Constitution. Chair, those are the proposed amendment support for this clause, and in respect of this clause, from our side, we do not recommend any amendments. Thank you, Chair. If I may hand to the department then.
Thank you, Chair. From our side, we recommend that there are no amendments for this section. And in terms of the policy rationale, it's along the lines of ensuring that there's access to education. There is exceptions that will support learning and innovation in the education sector, especially for different groups in the country, including those in communities and who don't have access to these materials, whether it's books or so. It's just to ensure, and then to indicate that Section 12D has safeguards. I know that for those who may have other concerns, there are safeguards with that. It has been extensively consulted on. It has been recommended by various studies to ensure that in South Africa we have exceptions that cater for the education sector. And on the licensing scheme for the education sector, for 12D specifically, it's also in line with the same principles of the private copy levy, because it looks at ensuring that the rights holders, your copyright owners, authors, are compensated, or they receive some kind of a remuneration for their works through the licensing scheme that would be administered, say, by a collecting society. There are licenses currently in the education sector, higher education, lower education, and there are various views around the existing licensing schemes, for instance, to say that they seem to favor the international market in terms of publishing, the publishing industry, and that they can be quite expensive in terms of how they are applied. In the education sector, when we bring in the exceptions, the challenge we are looking at is the link between the license scheme versus access to the works, access to for the those who want to have access to the works. So we understand that there should be a balance between use and access and protection of rights holders. But then we are concerned that the licensing scheme may have unintended consequences in terms of how it is governed, its management, implications for collecting societies, and implications for the current costing system within the arrangement, the current arrangement of licensing. So this may actually reverse the intention of the access to education. It may be something that makes the whole provision difficult to implement. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, DDG. With that explanation, honorable members, those who vote to adopt or accept the proposals on 12D, that there should be no amendment. Can you please raise your hand?
Thank you, Chairperson. Those members that have voted in acceptance of the departmental response in terms of Section 12D is recorded as follows: Honorable Dango, Honorable Moemang, Honorable Lansman, Honorable Mashodi, Honorable Mamrahani, and Honorable Hai.
Thank you very much. Can you lower your hands, Honorable Members? Okay, the next, for those who are voting against 12D, please raise your hand. None. Those who are voting, those who are abstaining, please raise your hand.
Chief, those members abstaining are captured as follows: Honorable Bashop, Honorable Matagula, Honorable Lund, and Honorable Pratasev.
Thank you very much. Please lower your hand, honorable members. Honorable Matibula, please lower your hand. Thank you so much. For 12D is accepted, honorable members. Advocate Samara, can I just check, I'll also go back to members. We, from 16 to 21, there are no proposal. Would it be possible to deal with all of them at once, vote for or against or abstain on all of them at once, or should we do them individually?
Chair, we are allowed to consider more than one vote at a time. We've done it with the appropriation bills in the chamber on several events, if you can recall. Thank you.
Okay. All right, thanks so much. That's clarified. Honorable Mama, let's then do them one by one.
Sorry, Honorable.
Yes.
We still need to do that entire section before we move on to the others,
yes, thank you for reminding me.
But just Honorable Khai, it is quite an important thing because, and I don't know if the DDG is willing to comment on that, but the feedback that I got on the socioeconomic impact assessment is that it basically looks at the impact on government and not on the industries. And that is why it's such a crucial thing that I do think it's important that we get that, so that when we come back with the final mandates, because we're now busy with the negotiating mandates, but that at least provinces has received that as well, so that we make sure that every province has all the information at hand, because it's all good and well looking after government, but there's the affected industries that it doesn't look after. And I did want to raise it now so that it's on record, because I do think it's a crucial part that it is our responsibility to ensure that every province has all the information to make the informed decisions. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. We'll leave it to the department then, because they had indicated that it's a matter of the DPME. I don't know whether the province themselves should be the ones that should request this information. Be that as it may, can we then, thank you for reminding me that we have not yet voted on the clause 15 as a whole. Honorable members, those who vote in favor of adopting clause 15, please raise your hand. Thank you, Chair.
Those provinces that have voted in support of clause 15 with the inclusion of the amendments under section 12B6 are recorded as follows. For the Northern Cape, Honorable Moemang, for the Eastern Cape, Honorable Hai, for the Free State, Honorable Mashodi, for Gauteng, Honorable Dango, For the Northwest, Honorable Landsman, and for Limpopo, Honorable Mamrakhani.
Thank you so much. Honorable members, can you please lower your hands? Thank you so much. Those who are voting against the adoption of Clause 15, please raise your hand.
Those members that have voted, Mr. Lunt, on behalf of the Western Cape, has voted against the adoption of Clause 15. And then we've got Honorable Rautasef and Honorable Boshoff.
Thank you so much. Honorable members, please lower your hands. Thank you so much. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hand.
Chair, there are two abstentions from Honorable Tafeni and Honorable Matavula.
Thank you so much. Therefore, Clause 15 has been adopted. Thank you so much. If you can, thank you. Let's move to Clause 16. Those who vote in favor of adopting Clause 15, please raise your hands.
Clause 16, Chair.
Yes, 16, yes.
Chair, those members that have voted in favor of Clause 16 are as follows. The Eastern Cape, for the Eastern Cape, Honorable Hay, for Limpopo, Honorable Mamrakhana, for the Northern Cape, Honorable Mwimang, for the Northwest, Honorable Landsman, for Gauteng, Honorable Dango, and for the Free State, Honorable Mashuri.
Thank you very much. Can you please lower your hands, Honorable members? Honorable Landsman, can you please lower your hand? Thank you. Those who vote against adoption of Clause 16, please raise your hand. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hand.
Chair, abstentions are recorded as follows for the Western Cape, Honorable Lunt, Honorable Boshoff, Honorable Matavula, Honorable Bratusev, and Honorable Tafeni.
Thank you very much. Please,
just for the record, Honorable Boshoff is from Mpumalanga and Honorable Bratusev from KZN, and they're the only members on this committee from those provinces.
Okay, noted. Please, lawyer, members. Honorable Pratasat, please lower your hand. Thank you very much. Therefore, the clause 16 has been adopted. Thank you so much. Honorable Chairperson? Yes.
Chairperson, sorry, I've been watching this all morning, and I think we must just get uniformity one way or the other. We either say Honorable Chai from the Eastern Cape, Honorable Tim from 4KZN, or we don't. Either way, but let's just get uniformity, because Honorable Lunt is correct. I'm the only member for KZN. Honorable Boss is the only member for Mpumalanga. Where there are duplications, then I understand the arguments that are presented later, but let's just get it right just for the record. So anybody reviewing this later, you know, can see that we actually know what we're doing. So okay. If we can just get that right, I think Honorable Dangle raised it earlier, but I think that if you're abstaining, it doesn't mean you don't abstain on behalf of a province. You know, you're the only person from the province on this committee. And as the opinion was offered earlier by Advocate Shamara, the fact that I'm sitting here, okay, that means I have the right to do so. So
okay,
let's just get it right, you know, uniformly across the board. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
Okay. Yeah.
If I can just come in, how these are being captured is it's according to provinces. Where there's a duplication, those are recorded as a minority view from those provinces. But also bearing in mind, in terms of the mandates from KZN and Mpumalanga, both mandates are in support of the bill. But as we go through the various the clauses, we are noting the votes of Honorable Boshoff and Honorable Bratusev as well. Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
No, sorry. Sorry, Chair, this is where the problem comes in. Honorable Solomon's it's not her job to interpret this, because there's some provinces that actually is against the mandate that they received, and then they changed their vote. And that's why I said we needed to get this cleared at the beginning. We need to have the legal opinion. So it's not her job, with all due respect, to interpret what we will get a legal opinion on later. Honorable Brautaseth is a valid full member on this committee from KZN. His vote must be recorded correctly. The same for Honorable Bosel. If you want to interpret what members do or shouldn't do, then get an illegal opinion. But it can't just be done by somebody on the platform like this.
Okay, no time. Okay, can we go to 17, clause 17? Those who vote in favor of clause 17, please raise your hands. Honorable Lanceman?
You should be joining the platform, Chi.
Okay. Over to you, Ms. Solomon.
Richie, those provinces that have voted in favor of clause 17 is as follows. For Limpopo, it's Honorable Mamrahana. For the Eastern Cape, it's Honorable Hai. For the Free State, it's Honorable Mashodi. For the Northern Cape, it's Honorable Moimang. For Gauteng, it's Honorable Dango. And for the Northwest, it's Honorable Lanceman.
Okay. Can we ask the members to please lower their hands? Those who are voting against the adoption of clause 17, please raise your hand. Okay. Now, those who are abstaining, please raise your hand. Solomon.
Yes, Chair. Abstentions are recorded as follows. For the Western Cape, Honorable Lunt, for Mpumalanga, Honorable Boshoff, for the East, for Limpopo, Honorable Matabula, and for KZN, Honorable Bratsev.
Thank you so much. Can you please lower your hands, Honorable Members?
Chairperson?
Yes.
Chairperson, you see, I'm sorry to belabor this point, but now we come back to the situation, we're still doing this wrong. There are two members for Limpopo here. One of them must have precedence. I'm not sure who does, and that is where Honorable Lont is saying the legal opinion is required. So there are two members. There are two members from Limpopo on this meeting, and there are two members for the Eastern Cape on this meeting. Which one has preference? The one that doesn't have preference, they are noted just by their name. The one that does have preference is noted by their votes.
It was explained that the one who comes from the majority party will be the one that is counted, but then the other one will be, sorry?
So, Chairperson, I hear what you're saying, but right now, as it's just been done, two votes have been recorded for Limpopo and two for Eastern Cape.
The other one will be recorded as a minority.
But you know, it's still being read as full court in that's what I'm saying. So in this particular, unfortunately, in no disrespect to them, is that Fanny must record just my name, but not for the province. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
That's my
Honorable Chair.
If there were two members of the I'm still busy, if you don't mind. You aren't here about yourself to ask. Please, let me finish. Chairperson, all I'm trying to say is if there were two members of KZN on the call, one of them would have preference. It's just the way it works. Thanks, Chair.
That's why I was saying, Honorable Members, let's allow the process to continue. And then when we get then the memo from Advocate Samara, then automatically this will be corrected. Then those members who are not from the majority party will then be recorded as a new, so that we don't move forward and backwards on this matter. Please, Honorable Maimang. Honorable Maimang.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just worried about the recurrence, the frequent recurrence of this issue that is raised persistently and consistently, despite the fact that the matter has been clarified. So there are two things, Chair. It's either we continue and agree as and procedures agreed, Chair, or then we then defer the meeting until we have that legal opinion in writing, because now members keep on reverting back, you see.
Yeah.
And this matter has been clarified. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. So we'll continue the way we've been continuing, Honorable Members, and then we will get then this legal opinion from Advocate Samara Ali. Therefore, the Clause 17 has been agreed to. Can we then, Honorable Matebula, I see your hand is up. Let's start with Honorable Boshoff.
Thank you very much, Chair. We are going through this process and we could see a legal action or a legal decision waylaying everything that we are doing here today. Is there no possibility that this could be shelved until we have this legal opinion and then take it from the start and work accordingly to this legal opinion that we are waiting for? Thank you.
This has been explained. It's just that people want it in writing. Otherwise, it has been explained. The constitution was quoted, the rules were quoted, but people are insisting that it should be legal. So for me, there will be no difference on the legal, something that is written and also what has been explained. So therefore, let's members, please, with due respect, can we continue with the process? And then on Tuesday next week, Tuesday next week, according to Advocate Samara, we'll get the opinion. It will be circulated to members before the committee meets. But let's continue the way we've been doing now, to mention the names of members in the province where they come from, irrespective of whether they are from the minority parties or from the majority party. Thank you. Honorable Matebula.
Chairperson, I think this, we still going back to what you have explained in the beginning of the committee according to what we have asked. We are still waiting for legal advice. So what if the legal advice come back with when we already did something wrong? Are we going to come back again, do the work that we are doing now? Or what's going to happen, Chairperson? Because we are still waiting for legal advice. So I was thinking that...
We are not waiting. The legal advice will just confirm what Advocate Samara was saying.
Okay.
It will just confirm it, because she has already explained it. And then some members are of the view that this should be in writing. So what she will be coming with is will be confirming in writing what she has explained.
Okay, if it's like that, no problem, Chair.
Thank you so much. Can we move then to Clause 18? Honorable members, those who vote in favor of Clause 18, can they please raise their hands? Ms. Madia, please assist.
Chief, at the moment I only have four hands. I don't know if Honorable Lansman, Ipa, I believe, there we go. Chief,
my hand is there. I have problems of network, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay. It's recorded, okay. Honorable Lansman.
Yeah.
And.
Okay. Thank
for,
you.
Ms. Madia.
Okay. Thank you, Chair and members. Okay. Chair, those members and provinces that have voted in favor of Clause 18 without amendments is as follows. For the Eastern Cape, Honorable Hay. The Free State, Honorable Mashodi, for Limpopo, Honorable Mamrahana, for Gauteng, Honorable Dango, for Northwest, Honorable Lansman, and for Northern Cape, Honorable Moiman.
Can you start again? I think you did confuse some provinces.
Okay. In support of the Clause 18 without amendments are as follows. Eastern Cape, Free State, Limpopo, Gauteng, Northwest, and Northern Cape.
Okay. Maybe you should also call names so that we don't get back to this argument.
Okay. I'll just repeat it again. For the Eastern Cape, Honorable Hai. For the Free State, Honorable Mushuri. Limpopo, Honorable Mamarahana. For Gauteng, Honorable Dango. For Northwest, Honorable Lansman. And for the Northern Cape, Honorable Moiman.
Thank you so much. Can you please, honorable members, lower your hands? Thank you. Those who are voting against Clause 18, please raise your hand. None. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hand.
Okay, thank you, Chair. The abstentions are recorded as follows. For the Western Cape, Honorable Lant, for Mpumalanga, Honorable Boshoff, for the Limpopo, Honorable Matavula, and for KZN, Honorable Drautesef, and for the Eastern Cape, Honorable Tafeini.
Thank you very much. Can you please lower your hand, honorable members, and the Clause 18 has been adopted. Thank you very much. Honorable Tim, okay. Can we now go to Clause 19? Those in favor for the adoption of Clause 19, please raise your hand. Honorable,
Thank you, Chair. Those members that have voted in favor of Clause 19 without amendments are as follows. Those members in provinces is for Gauteng, Honorable Dango, for the Eastern Cape, Honorable Hai, for Limpopo, Honorable Mamrahani, for Free State, Honorable Mashodi, for Northwest, Honorable Lansman, and for Northern Cape, Honorable Moiman.
Okay. Honorable members, can you please lower your hand? Honorable Lansman, please lower your hand. Thank you. Those voting against Clause 90, please raise your hand. None. Those abstaining, please raise your hand.
Okay, abstentions are recorded as follows. For Mpumalanga, Honorable Boshoff, for KZN, Honorable Bratisef, for Western Cape, Honorable Lant, for the East, for Limpopo, Honorable Matavula.
Thank you so much. Can you, members, please lower your hands? Thank you so much. Clause 19 has been adopted. Thank you very much. Let's move to Clause 20. Those who vote in favor of adoption of Clause 20, please raise your hands.
Those provinces and members that have voted in favor of Clause 20 without the amendments are as follows. For Eastern Cape, Honorable Hai, for Gauteng, Honorable Dango, for Free State, Honorable Mushodi, for the Northern Cape, Honorable Moimang, for Limpopo, Honorable Mamrahani, and for Northwest, Honorable Lansman.
Thank you very much. Can you please lower your hands, honorable members? Thank you so much. Those voting against, please raise your hand. None. Those are abstaining. Please raise your hand.
Okay. Abstentions are recorded as follows for
Let's check Honorable Bosho.
Honorable Bosho, I think she's still on the platform. Yes, she is.
She is. Honorable Bosho? Okay.
Abstentions at present are recorded as follows for the Western Cape Honorable Lunt. Pumpumalanga, Honorable Bosho, for KZN, Honorable Prakasif. I have captured all of them, these four abstentions, Chair.
Thank you so much. Was it close?
20.
20, okay. That please lower your hands, honorable members, and the clause 20 has been adopted. Thank you so much. We now move to clause 21. Those in favor of adoption of clause 21, please raise your hand. Clause 21.
Okay. Under clause 21, the members and provinces that have voted in favour is as follows: for the Eastern Cape, Honourable High; for the Free State, Honourable Mashodi; for Gauteng, Honourable Dango; Limpopo, Honourable Mamerhani; for North West, Honourable Lansman; and for the Northern Cape, Honourable Moiman.
Thank you very much. Please lower your hands, honorable members. Honorable Lansman, please lower your hand. Thank you so much. Those who are voting against clause 21, please raise your hand. None. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hand. Solomon.
Yes, abstentions are recorded as follows for the Western Cape, Honorable Lunt; for Limpopo, Honorable Matavula; for Mpumalanga, Honorable Bosho; for the Eastern Cape, Honorable Tafeni.
Thank you so much. Please lower your hands, honorable members. That means the clause 21 has been adopted. Before we go to clause 22, honorable members, can we take a 5 minutes break? Great.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much.
Chair, just before that, okay, we will have a challenge around 12 because we need to get into the memorial service of a member of Parliament, Tina.
Yes, we'll stop at 12. Honorable Dango did request that we stop at 10 to 12, but we'll stop at 12.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. So I will have a 5 minutes break now. Thank you. Are we back, honorable members? Or was my watch faster?
We are back, honorable chairperson.
Okay. Honorable team, honorable Boshoff.
I'm here.
Are we all back?
Yes, thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much. Honorable Landsman.
We are back.
Yes,
we are back.
Oh, okay. Honorable Dango. Honorable Dango.
He is on the platform, Chair.
Oh, okay. He's having making coffee. Honorable Moimanga's 5 minutes was very short yesterday. I couldn't even make coffee. Okay, let me switch off my video to see if... honorable members, we now on clause 12, dealing with the 19C, and we'll hand over to Advocate and DDG Masos.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, Clause 22 deals with two sections, 19C and 19D. So I will do the same here, starting with 19C. 19C deals with libraries, archives, museums, and galleries, and D deals with persons with a disability. Chair, in respect of Section 19C, there are no amendments that are proposed from the department or the or from CLSO's side, or recommended rather. The amendments proposed from provinces, first off, there's recognition for the need for Section 19C. So that is simply in favor of the clause from Gauteng specifically. There is a proposal in respect of private copy levies, and I think the department will speak to private copy levies, but that is not recommended. In respect of, there was a concern about the word use and the way that is included in the exception, and that it might make it too broad, but it is clear that use is used in the sense of it must be appropriate to its activities. So use is not an open-ended word. It is use the copyright work to the extent appropriate to its activities in accordance with the subsections of Section 19C. And it's thus our submission that there is sufficient limitation provided. There was also a proposal in respect of amending 19C subsection 2 regarding the lending of certain works, but there is it's quite clear that it's in respect of all works, and the lending and exception in relation specifically to sound recordings and audiovisual works, that is a normal practice in libraries. So there's, in other words, not, and the same goes for the temporary access concern that was raised. So the bill is quite clear, and the section is aligned to the practices of libraries, museums, and archives. There's also a proposal in respect of the playing of the sound recordings. There's a concern about that, but there is no amendment that is recommended, because the bill does in fact make specific provision that when you are accessing the sound recordings and the audiovisual works, it will be for educational purposes, for learning purposes. It is not for commercial purposes. It's not for recreational purposes. It is definitely for education and learning. So accordingly, Chair, in respect of 19C, there are no recommendations from myself or from the department in respect of amendments. If I can then hand over to the department in respect of 19C, and then I can speak to 19D once the committee has voted on 19C. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you so much, Advocate FNMF. DDG Masos.
Thank you, Chair. I think the advocate has covered the various areas that were raised around the 19C. I'll just say a bit about the one where there was a concern on 19C subsection 4.
I don't know whether the problem is...
We've lost the DDG, Chairperson.
Oh, okay. I always sometimes think that the problem is on my side. I thought that advocate, you're sorry, DDG? DDG? Okay, can we then move, because she was also saying that the position is similar to that of the CLSO, in view of that, honorable members, can we then vote? Those who are in favor of section 19C, can you please raise your hand?
Those members at provinces that they voted in favor of clause response in terms of clause 22 section 19C are as follows: for Gauteng, Honorable Tango; for Eastern Cape, Honorable Hai; for the Northern Cape, Honorable Moimang; for Limpopo, Honorable Mamrahani; and for the Free State, Honorable Mashuri.
Okay, thank you very much. Can you, honorable members, please lower your hand? And those who are voting again.
Chairperson, can they just check with Landsman?
Okay. In the meantime, can we check those who are voting against section 19C? Please raise your hand. None. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hand.
Chair, abstentions are recorded as follows: for Mpumalanga, Honorable Boshoff; for KZN, Honorable Plautisev; for Limpopo, Honorable Matabula; for Western Cape, Honorable Lond; and for Eastern Cape, Honorable Tafeni.
Thank you very much. Can you please lower your hand? Little lower. Okay, thank you. 19C has been agreed to, honorable members. We go to 19D, advocate.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, this is the section that was affected by the Constitutional Court judgment in Blind SA. And a number of the provinces mentioned that we need to make note of this judgment, and that there are certain amendments that need to be made in order to make sure that 19D does in fact comply with everything that the court has pointed out. So in respect of this section, there's definitely amendments that were proposed by the provinces and that we recommend. And specifically, Chair, and taking all of the proposals together, the proposals to amend. So if I may ask that the screen just go a little bit lower, because the amendments are starting where the blue font is. So if we can try and see if we can get that whole section on the page. Yeah, like stop for there, then I'll start and I'll tell you when to go down again. So, Chair, in respect of Section 19D, subsection 1, the proposal is to make it very clear that the phrase "an authorized entity" is not subject to regulations. So it was a bit of a bad interpretation that it could be that an authorized entity must be prescribed, but we already have a definition in the bill, and that definition makes provision for some to be prescribed and others as just a description. This section provides a third possibility that can be prescribed. So the wording should rather read an authorized entity or any person as may be prescribed. So the proposal in subsection 1 is just to move the phrase "an authorized entity" to the start of the sentence so that it is clear that an authorized entity stands on its own. Chair, the next recommended amendment is an inclusion of a new subsection 3. And Chair, what this does is to just make something clear that it was always the intention, but it didn't come across very clearly in 19D as it is worded now. And that is that a person with a disability or someone who is acting on their behalf doesn't always have to take the original to make the copy. They can have what is in their possession legally and make a copy from that. Because otherwise you have a situation where a person with a disability made the accessible format copy, and now they want to use that format copy perhaps on their laptop instead of on a tablet. Then that copy, they must be able to make that copy. So subsection 3's inclusion is just to make that very, very clear that where they have lawful access to that work, they can make a further copy of that work. Then the further proposed and recommended amendment is, of course, the subsections will now go a bit further in numbering because we've now inserted one. So the current subsection 3 is to delete the reference to subsection 1 because that made the importation very difficult and had unintended consequences. So that needs to be removed there. And then the current subsection 4 simply becomes subsection 5. Jay, and I'm just going to mention it here, but we'll probably then come to that vote when we get to the relevant clause dealing with section 28P, is that there needs to be a deletion in that section as well of subsection 2. And then there's just a consequential amendment because that would have affected the rights of blind of persons with a disability, as mentioned in the blind SA case, in respect of technological protection measures. But Chair, that is, I think, not for voting now because we are voting on 19D. So the proposed amendments is in subsection 1, subsection 3, and subsection 4, and then consequential amendments in relation to the numbering of the clause subsections. Chair, those are the only amendments in respect of this section, also the only proposals in respect of this subsection. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Advocate. DDG, Masos.
Thank you, Chair, and apologies, Chair, for the network. I was kicked out of the meeting on 19C.
Do you have a person who can stand in for you when you get kicked out, okay?
Not at the moment, Chair. Sorry about that. But I'll do my best to come in and out, and I'll communicate with the advocate in between where she can step in.
Okay. Okay.
In terms of the amendments to Section 19D, Chair, we support all the recommendations and the amendments that were suggested and recommended by the provinces and as per the presentation by the advocate. Thank you.
Chairperson, we've lost you.
let's probably then proceed like as the chair has indicated. I guess we are at a point where we must invite those that are voting in favor of the recommendation to raise their hand. Or let's probably then do, let's do this, honorable members, try to, because I think it's a bit of a challenge. Let me try to phone the chair.
Well, note, we can go ahead with the vote because currently I see there's only three provinces supporting. So let's continue, please. Let's not stall now. We've been pushing through on this all along. So let's continue.
I think we should adjourn at this particular point in time. I have other meetings to go to, as I indicated earlier.
I'm trying to get all of the chair first to process that.
You see, this speaks to the quorum that we're giving earlier. Now there's an adjournment when there's not enough votes to get this through.
Yeah, maybe now they need the DA to help them with the quorum.
Chair, Honorable Khai. I see you are back on the platform. Maria Solomon?
Yes, Chair. Those members that have in provinces that have voted in favour of the proposal from the department are as follows: for Free State, Honourable Mashodi; for Limpopo, Honourable Mamarhani; for Eastern Cape, Honourable Hai; for the Northern Cape, Honourable Wimang. Sorry, I just got distracted. And for the Eastern Cape, Honourable Hai.
I voted for Gauteng.
Oh, and for Gauteng, Honorable Dango.
Thank you.
And Honorable Lansman is having a problem with communications. Can you check with him?
I'm trying to call him, Honorable Dango. His line is busy, but I'll continue to try.
Thank you.
Thank you, Maria.
Honorable Chair.
Hello, Sonia.
Thank you. If we're not on the platform,
sorry,
I hope,
Sonia,
we can
just
also get Paul.
Honorable Borsov.
Honorable Lunch, you are not the acting chair. Yes. Can you repeat that, Honorable Borsov?
Aha, now we're coming right. Thank you. What I said is I hope if we are not on the platform that we also get a call from the Secretariat.
No, I agree. Consistency is important. Can we get now those that are voting against the recommendation?
Let's first lower our hands.
Can first member, yeah. Chair?
Yes.
Yeah. Can we then have, I suspect we might have to adjourn because of the frequency of the disruption, but let's finish this round. Those that are voting against the recommendation and proposal, can they raise their hand? Those that are abstaining, can they raise their hand? Ms. Solomon?
Yes, Chi. Abstentions are recorded as follows. For Mpumalanga, Honorable Basha; for KZN, Honorable Brankusev; for Limpopo, Honorable Matabula; the Western Cape, Honorable Lunt; and for Eastern Cape, Honorable Tafeni.
Thank you, Maria. Chair, can I give back to you that there's a proposal that we defer the meeting, but let me give the rest back to you.
Okay. Honourable members, can we have your views on that? Initially, we were to stop at 12, but there's a proposal that we stop now. and then start again on the 28th. Honorable Matebula.
Thank you very much, Chair. Before you stop the meeting, I would like to remember I've asked to submit to read the minority submission on behalf of my party, Chair, before you adjourn the meeting.
Oh, just before that, can we first agree if we're stopping now, and then I will give you the opportunity. Honorable Bosso?
Chairperson, I would move that after the Honorable Matebula has read out the declaration that we adjourn the meeting.
Okay, I heard the hand of Honorable Bosso before you.
Sorry, Chair, that's what I was going to say. We have to hear what Honorable Matebula has to say before we adjourn. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much. Honorable Tim?
Yes, Chairperson, either before or after Honorable Matebula's input, can we please just get clarity on just a bit of a housekeeping issue about the visit to the TLS, the visa place, because, you know, I had scheduled to fly in on Monday evening, but if we're going on Monday morning, I need to know it now so that I can make my flight address. If there is any update, otherwise we'll have to watch on the group. But can I just please ask that we press for that as quickly as possible, either now or because obviously we need to make fast. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you so much. Ms. Solomon, I don't know if Ms. Grace Denisulu is with us. If you can have, please check.
And, she is on the platform,
She's on the platform. Okay, let's hear then Honorable Matebula, and then after that we hand over to Honorable Ms. Denisulu.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the opportunity. I couldn't type while I was busy voting, so it was quite difficult for me to do that. So I'm going to read out the view of the EFF regarding the two bills that we are voting into. The EFF had a consultative meeting with creative industry and practice.
Is it not premature?
No, let's hear what she says, Chair, then I will come with a ruling. Okay. You can continue, Honorable Matebu.
Thank you very much, Chair. I was saying the EFF has the consultative meeting with creative industry and practitioners on the 17th March 2022 to receive their submission. And the following are the overview of their submission. Copyright amendment bills allow for the compensation, but not necessary for compensating the artists who create the work, but for compensating those who own the rights to the artist's work. The bill continues to marginalize artists because it keeps them dependent on those who commission their work. A copyright amendment bill legislates the existing collective society out of existence. This may benefit artists collecting royalty out of the existence. This may benefit artists, but it gives the same royalty company more power to act as a middleman in determining who get paid what. These companies have always exploited performers and will continue to do so in the future because there's long history of producers refusing to pay performers. The bill, particularly the Copyright Act, must include the clear provision for reclaiming these rights from the companies who currently hold them and returning them to the artists from whom these rights were stolen. The committee must stick only on those issues because multinationals are now hijacking the process in order to defranchise artists. The bill must emphasize that intellectual property is the property of the performers and not that of the companies that produce
The bills must also protect artists from signing exploitative contracts, particularly women artists. The bill should make a special tribunal or court for artists. Artists have a right to carry to earn royalty without being at the mercy of the producers. Provision must be made for the compensation of actors for repeat episode and when they show they shoot are sold to enter passage outside the country. The bill must amend to compel entities like Gallo, which hold the mass music of older artists, some who have passed away, must be compelled to release their music for research purposes and disclose how much they've made and share this proceeding with relatives on the practitioners who have passed away. Thank you very much, Che. That's our submission.
Thank you very much, Honorable Matevlo. Can I request that you circulate that to, okay, you send that to Ms. Solomons, and then we will get advice from the procedural officer, Ms. Samara, because I move the view if that perhaps would be for next week, and perhaps it should be part of the report and the minority view in terms of the report. I'm speaking under correction here, but we will get advice from the procedural officer with regard to that outside this meeting, and we come back on Tuesday. But in the meantime, I'll suggest that you send it to Ms. Solomons. Thank you very much, Honorable Matevlo. I take honorable members that we are agreeing with the suggestion that we stop now. Is it clause 22, 19C and 19D that we've dealt with? So we stop now, then we will continue next week on the 20th, starting at 9 again, where we'll be dealing with then the next clause, clause 23, there are no proposals, and then clause 24, and then we go on until we're done, if time permits.
Chair, if I can just indicate that we haven't voted yet on clause 22.
Oh, we have not voted on clause 22.
We haven't voted yet, and we've also proposed amendments under clause 22. So when we continue next week, we'll continue with clause 22.
Okay. I hope we have all the members present. We don't have a situation where, because we're saying we're stopping, and then members then started getting out. Do we still have members?
Yes, we are here, Chair.
Yes, we're still here, Chair.
Oh, very good. Okay, can we then vote for clause 22? Is it clause 22, yeah? As a whole, those in favor, please raise your hand.
Honorable Matavula's hand is raised, so I'm not sure if she's voting in support of clause 22 with the proposed amendments.
Yes, he's voting in favor.
Yes, no, Chair, I'm not voting in favor, Chair. It was a vote
in favor, my friend.
Okay.
The last time she voted with you, she was still in the ANC Youth League.
She said she was not a member. Ask her that.
Okay, Chair, those in support of clause 22 with the agreed proposed amendments is for the Northern Cape, Honorable Moemang, for Limpopo, Honorable Mamerhane, for Free State, Honorable Mashodi, for Gauteng, Honorable Dango, and for the Eastern Cape, Honorable Hai.
Thank you so much. Can we lower our hands, Honorable Members, please? Thank you so much. Those who are voting against clause 22, please raise your hand. None. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hand. Ms. Madia.
Abstentions are recorded as follows. From Mpumalanga, Honorable Bosha, for Western Cape, Honorable Lund, KZN, Honorable Bratisef, and for Limpopo, Honorable Matavula.
Thank you so much. Please lower your hand, Honorable Members. That means clause 22 has been adopted. There was a suggestion that we also deal with 23 because there are no proposals there. Honorable Matavula and Honorable Lund, if you can lower your hands, unless you want to raise something. Honorable Lund, good.
So, okay. That was an old answer.
Thanks so much. Let's go to clause 23. Those voting in favor of clause 23, please raise your hand.
Those that have voted in favor of clause 23 for the Northern Cape, Honorable Moimang, for the Free State, Honorable Mashuri, for Limpopo, Honorable Mamrahani, for the Eastern Cape, Honorable Kai, and for Gauteng, Honorable Dango.
Thank you so much. Honorable members, please lower your hand.
Chairperson, can I then move that we adjourn?
No, we're still voting. Those who are voting against, please raise your hand. None. Those who are abstaining, please raise your hand.
Chair, abstentions are captured as follows. For Mpumalanga, Honorable Bashaf, for Limpopo, Honorable Matavola, for the Eastern Cape, Honorable Tafeni, for KZN, Honorable Bratisef, and for the Western Cape, Honorable Lund.
Thank you very much. Clause 23 has been adopted. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. As earlier explained, that next week on the 20th, we're starting at 9. So we start with clause 24 that deals with section 21, the commissioned work. Thank you very much. I don't know if it's all hand, Honorable Matthew. Okay, thank you so much. At this stage,
is it all there?
Oh, thank you so much. We'll start then at 9 next week on Tuesday. Starting with clause 24, that deals with section 21 on commissioned work. Thank you very much to honorable members for attending and also for their participation. Thank you, honorable DDG Masoja, Advocate Fanemeve, committee staff, parliamentary staff, our guests, stakeholders, media, thank you for attending. Let's just now deal with the issue of that was raised by Honorable Protaset. Mr. Dinizul, on the issue of the trip, if you can update the committee.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to honorable members and colleagues.
Good day.
Chairperson, currently I do not have much this issue. The only thing I can say is that I have submitted the note verbal to DERCO, and they indicated that they have a long list of the same applications. But they will try to process it maybe during the course of the day. And I also forwarded the insurance forms to the members' facilities office in Parliament. They are also processing them. Without those documents, it is difficult for me to say I will be ready to make an appointment at TLS by Monday. But let's wait and maybe till the end of today, and then we'll see if we can get all the necessary documents. Because without those documents, we cannot do that appointment. That's all I can say for now. Thanks, Chairperson.
Ms. Dene Zulu, who have you been talking to at Durko?
I've been talking to the guys at the protocol office.
Okay. At the protocol office?
Yes.
Not with the desk?
The desk and the protocol offices.
Okay. Have you been talking to
Jungle?
Yeah.
There are hands here that I must first deal with before you, because you have not raised your hand.
Sorry, my apologies, Chairperson.
I'll come back to you. Let's start with the Honorable Matebula, then followed by Honorable Boshoff, and then you'll come in after Honorable Boshoff. Honorable Matebula?
Thank you very much, Chair. Since our new member has sworn in, I would like to the Secretariat to communicate with her so that they can do arrangement for her as well. So that we can have a party representative when you go overseas, Chair. Thank you.
Noted. Okay. We'll leave it to the Secretariat. Honorable Boshoff?
Thank you very much, Chair. I was Honorable Dango spoke to what I was wanting to say, and that is that we need somebody to speak to Durko, because time is really running out. Visa applications are not just a go in and get. It takes quite a while to have these visa applications approved and then sent through to you. I've just done visa applications for my husband, and it's a huge process to do everything. So please, if somebody that has got clout in this committee can speak to somebody at Durko. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Ambassador Dango?
I will talk to Ms. Dene Zulu after this particular meeting this afternoon, and then I will communicate with Ambassador Slaba to see what they can do to speed it up.
All right. Thank you so much for your assistance. Honorable Kim Brickerson?
No, Chairman, not to belabor the matter, but is it not looking increasingly like Monday morning is going to be a bit of a stretch to actually try and get it sorted out? So maybe we should just try and fit it in some way during the week next week. If we can just get a call on that, not right now, but maybe by the end of the day, just so we know what we're doing. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, so it's quite a bit of a challenge next week, because on Wednesday, the whole day will be voting. In fact, we are voting on Tuesday for this bill, and then again, we're voting for the appropriation bill on Wednesday. So it will have to be, if it's not Monday, then it will be Thursday morning or Friday. Honorable Boshoff?
Chair, I really suggest that we do it next week, Friday. I'm sure we can put a day aside, and then we can all leave on Saturday. Thank you.
Okay, good idea. Yeah, thank you so much. Honourable members, I don't know, Honourable Matebula, is it old hands?
Yes, I said old hands. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. I've already thanked everybody, so the meeting is now adjourned. See you next week on the 20th. But members will see each other in the afternoon in the plenary session. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye, Chairman.